Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. If perchance you do not have a Bible with you, there should be one in the pew there, right in front of you. Thank you for being here. Please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you would, please, if you're physically able. And we're going to start here in chapter 2, and I'm going to begin in verse 7. Now, we are going to read a little bit more than normal this morning, but if you'll join me out loud on the even verses, and I'll read the odd verses by myself because of my condition. I will take care of that so that you can remain even and balanced and normal, and I'll be the abnormal one, okay? And so I'll begin by myself in verse 7, and you can join me. We'll read all the way down through verse 25 this morning. The Bible says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing, ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your own for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Well, today we're going to be kind of looking at this thing of doing the will of God. You know, we've talked before about the will of God, and certainly in our Sunday school class toward the beginning of my time here as pastor, we had a whole lesson about the will of God. And you say, well, when are we going to do that again? I don't know. It may be a while, but from time to time we'll bring up the subject of the will of God. And just to review in short, the will of God is not some mysterious thing that a person can't know. The will of God is actually right out there in Scripture over and over again. And so we've got to pay attention to what it means to follow the will of God. In other words, what does God want done? What does God want accomplished? And that's so important, because really all of our lives, we kind of think, well, what do I want to accomplish, right? What do I want done? What is my will, right? Isn't that kind of where focus is on life? What do I want? What are my goals? What are my dreams and my desires? That's just kind of how we're built, is it not? From the time that we're born, babies, those of you that have babies or have had babies, right? Listen, what do they want? Your will? No, because mothers, your will is to sleep, right? What is the baby's will? To wake you up so it can eat, right? And be changed and talk to you. And this morning, Flora was talking. She was talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. I have no idea what she was saying, but, you know, it's just blah, 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 blah. Anyways, it means something. And she had something to say. But at, you know, 4 a.m, it's not the time to say it. Okay? That was her will, not mine. Okay? So we have our own desires. We have our own goal. Oh, I want to be this and I want to be that, right? As kids, you know, you ask it, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? People are still asking me that. And so I'll have to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. But all of that said, upon salvation, and even as a lost person, as we seek after God, or we try to find God, if you will, it's not about us. And it's not about our will or what we want. It's about what He wants. And as we look here in 1 Peter, and that's why I kind of started back where I did, and I guess I could have even started back in verse 1 of this chapter. But in verse 7 it says, "Unto you therefore, which believe, He is precious." If you see that there, that this Son of God, this chief cornerstone, this Messiah, this Savior, is precious. God says, "Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Right? The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Jesus Christ is precious. And He says here in verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." So to those who do not believe, He's a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, it says. Which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also, they were appointed, but ye, who's ye? The people who believe He's precious. Those who are born again, those who are saved, those who have come to Him and say, "Hey, I am lost and undone. I cannot save myself. I am condemned already in my trespasses and sin. And here is Jesus, the Son of God, the precious one, the perfect one. He is the one who has come to save me from my sins." And we turn to Him and are born again. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Hey, listen, we weren't that before we believed He was precious. We weren't that. We were quite the opposite. We were not chosen. We were not royal. We were not holy. We were not peculiar. We were just like everybody else, lost in sin, sinners without hope. But now we're something different. That's why what the Bible says about being in Christ, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what those old things include? It includes the carnal life, it includes the sin, it includes all those things, but it also includes our old desires, our old will. Not our will, but now His will is to be done. His will is to be accomplished. His will is to be at the forefront of our life and our goals. In verse 15, it says, "For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." You know what a servant doesn't have? His own will. You know what a servant has? The will of his master. Because that's what a servant does, right? How many of you could tell me what a servant is that has his own will? Not a servant. Right? He's a rebel. He's a mutineer, right? Someone who goes against the will of the master. Would you get a lot of service done if you have your own agenda? Your own things to accomplish? Hey, how'd that work out for the guy that was given one talent when the master went away? Not well. How about the guy that had five? Did he accomplish his will or his master's will? Master's. How about the one that had two? Master's. How about the one that had one? His own, and it didn't work out very good. So you see, it's important to understand. This is all about this life that we have to live in Christ Jesus is appointed to the will of God. What does God want accomplished? We are a chosen generation. Those who believe that He is precious. We're a royal priesthood. We're an holy nation. We're a peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What is that? That's fulfilling the will of God. Finding and fulfilling the will of God. I love verse 10 because it explains further that we were not this before, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It's a change. It's a change. And we need to embrace that change and accomplish the will of God. The first thing I want to think about, and if you kind of search through in the scriptures and try to find the phrase will of God, it comes up, oh my goodness, I think it was like 88 times or something like that. It's a lot. So the Bible's going to be clear that it's not some mystery. It's not some thing that, oh, I wish I could figure out what the will of God is. No, we can know what it is. The first thing that I want to highlight is it is the will of God for people to be born again. That's the will of God. Do you think that God, as He formulated this whole thing, and again, we could go off on all kinds of tangents here as to why God allowed this and why God allowed that and why. Let's not play that game because we can't change any of that. That's all history, okay? But we can look and see back to what God did do. And here's what God did do. God created the world. God did that. And He created it in 6 literal days. Okay? 24-hour periods of time. And all you evolutionists can just go away. Okay? Because you just have no idea. All right? I will school you in this in very short period of time. It's not maybe less than 6 days I can do it. Now, and I'll rest on the 7th. Okay? This is something that God did. And guess what? I love science. I'm a science and math guy. I am not a language guy. I'm a science and math guy. Science has actually set out to disprove all of this stuff and has actually ended up proving most of it. I love it. Every time a scientist says, I'm going to prove that there's no God, he ends up proving there's God, and many times they're saved, which is wonderful. So here's the thing. Just the long and the short of creation, did you know that everything was created in such a fashion that it would support the life of that thing created because of what was created before it? And if it was created out of order in any certain way, those things would not be able to survive or flourish or exist, etc. You mean that was all by chance in a big bang that happened over billions of years? Okay? No! No, God made this so that this would support this. And then he made this. And then this framework here supported the next thing that was created. And this framework here supported the next thing that was created. And this framework here supported this. Wow. It's work. It works together. It just amazing. But this is what God purposed. And you know what? God knew that man was going to be presented with a choice. We're different. We are not animals. We are not dumb animals. We have a soul. We have a spirit. We have a body. We are created in the image of God. Did you know that when he created the fish and the fowls and the beasts of the field, none of those say that they were created in the image of God. Only man was created in the image of God. We're different, folks. And God knew. And you know what? We're even different than the angels. The Bible tells us that we're created different than they are. And God gave us a free will to choose. He told Adam, hey, Adam, there's one rule. One. And you have a choice. And guess what? Eve was beguiled. She was deceived. She was tricked. Adam made a choice. He made a choice. He chose to take of the fruit. You know what? When she presented that fruit to him, he wasn't tricked. He knew exactly what it was. And he knew exactly what had happened. And he exactly knew the consequences of receiving that from her. He chose. You understand that God wants all to be saved. God knew what he was doing. Why would God send his son? Why would God foretell that there would be a savior, a redeeming quality and a redeeming individual, someone who would be the propitiation, the Lamb of God, which had come to take away the sins of the world? Why would he do that if that's not what his will was for mankind? You think that there's a man or a woman or an elderly person or a child or a middle-aged person that God doesn't want to be saved? You say, well, what about these mass murderers? What about these rapists? What about these people of this sort and that sort? Surely they don't deserve salvation. Surely God wouldn't want them to be saved. Oh, really? Is that so? Well, last I checked, 2 Peter 3:9 was still in the Bible, where it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the last time I checked, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, we have record of all kinds of murderers being saved in Scripture. Murderers. Hey, anybody remember a guy named Moses? You think he's in heaven? We know he is. Okay, you say, how do you know that? Could someone not in heaven appear on the Mount of Transfiguration with God if he wasn't with God? No. Right? Murderer. David. How many think David is in heaven? Anybody? David? Murderer? Adulterer? Amongst other things? Yeah. Paul? Lots of them. You see, it is the will of God for people to be saved. He wants you to have salvation. Amen. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be born again. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you are. He wants you to be saved. Hey, how about all those guys that took Jesus and were punching him in the face and were ripping out his beard and were beating him with things and we're spitting upon him and mocking him and cursing him? Surely they are all in hell today because they deserve it by being so mean to the Son of God. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them. What did he say to the thief that was right next to him that was mocking him and making fun of him, but then came to himself and said, Lord, remember me? He's like, ha! Yeah, right, pal. Good luck down there with, all that fire and brimstone.
No, he wants all to be saved. The will of God is for people to be saved. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you submitted to the will of God? Have you given up your own dreams and your own desires and your own things that you think are true and trusted what God says? For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John chapter 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Isn't that amazing? He said, hey, this is God's will, that you come to me, that you be saved. He says, and this is my Father's will, which hath sent me. Of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. How many times is this being said here? You think it's important? Maybe he just forgot what he said and he just wrote it again, right? No, it's on purpose. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. In Matthew 18, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye if I'm glad he sang that song today. He didn't know that this scripture was in my notes. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I think it's very clear that the will of God is for people to be saved. For people to be born again, to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now that's the beginning. Because as Peter wrote here, he's writing unto those who did believe, who already believed that he is precious, that he is the Savior and their Savior. Once we have salvation, the will of God does not end. It doesn't end. It has just begun. It has just begun in us. We need to accomplish the will of God. If Jesus Christ, our example, can say, hey, this is not my will, but rather it's my Father's will. Hey, if the Son of God, or if you will, what we believe, very God himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all God. If he can say, as an example to us, I'm not doing what I want. I'm not going rogue here. I'm not going lone wolf. I'm not trying to accomplish my own agenda. I am accomplishing the will of the Father. Remember what we've said about the Lord's Prayer before? Remember that? It's not found in Matthew chapter 6. Did you know that? Okay? That's the model prayer. We've talked about that. We won't rehash that today. But according to the Lord's Prayer, which is what I believe to be the true Lord's Prayer in Matthew 26, this is what Jesus said. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. That's how we know Jesus was a southerner, right? I learned that down here in the south. Okay? I was teasing with one of my northern friends from Bible college. I said, how are y'all doing? I said, that's southern for you guys. And so they laughed about that. Anyways, he's going to pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy.
Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time. Folks, twice. Two times. And you say, Pastor, I can't figure this out. He's God. He's Jesus. God, Father, God the Son, God the Holy, same thing. How can he say, I don't want to do this, but it's your will, and I don't understand it. Folks, we don't have to understand it. We need to get the principle of it. That it was defaulting or giving up one own will to another's. The will of God. God the Father. He said a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. That's the attitude we need as believers in Christ. God, I don't like this. I don't like getting cancer. Or I don't like a loved one dying. Or I don't like this particular circumstance. Or such and so forth. But if it's not possible to do any other way to be done, then let's just get it done. Thy will be done. We need to not only understand that God's will is for people to be saved, for people to be born again, but also for people that are born again to be surrendered to God's will. I give up. Here. Come here. I surrender. What does this mean? Does it mean we retain anything? No. It's all gone. It's all gone. I give up. And we need to surrender to what God wants in our lives. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he said, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. You know, Paul said, hey, I'm ready. I want to go to Rome. I want to be with you. But it's up to the will of God. As he set out on his missionary journeys, we just talked about that in Sunday school this morning, how Paul endeavored to go to one place and wanted to go over here, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go. You understand that we need to be surrendered to what God has for us. I don't care for heat much. I like cold. Yes, I'm strange, I know. I just thought of something that I novel that I hadn't thought of it before. I was born in 1977. Those are all not odd numbers. That's why I'm odd, I guess. I guess that's why the case, that's the case. Now, but Paul said, it's not about my will or what I want. It's about what God wants. We need to be surrendered to him. Completely given over. Do you think it was fun for Jesus to be crucified? Do you think that he knew what was going to take place? Do you think that he knew the physical pain that he would experience? But what did he say? I surrender. It is God's will that we surrender to his will. That we give up everything. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia,
How that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. It was by the will of God that they did these things. That they gave up their own selves. Hey, are we still living our own goals and our own dreams and our own agenda? Or have we surrendered to the will of God? God, I give up. You know what? I have a love for airplanes. That's why I joined the Navy. I love that. I love saying that because it always makes Air Force people laugh and smile. Let's just look it up there. Navy has more airplanes than the Air Force does. Okay. I was what they call an Airedale. All right. I worked on airplanes in the Navy. But I have love for airplanes. But you know what? When I was called to preach, guess what I decided to do? To give that up. My next assignment was gonna be something that I'd always dreamed of. I was gonna be on an aircraft carrier working on F-14s. Greatest airplane ever. He says no. An Air Force guy would say that, of course. Maybe it was Top Gun. I don't know. I'm not endorsing any movie, but you know that was a thing when I was a kid. But you know what? That was just something I always wanted to do, and that was going to be my next assignment if I'd have stayed in the military. But you know, some funny thing happened. Got involved in the right kind of church, and God called me to preach. So guess where I went? Instead of going to an aircraft carrier and working on F-14s, I went to Bible college. You know what that is? Giving up. It's surrendering to the will of God. God wants us to be saved. He wants us to be surrendered to Him. He wants us to be servants, not the ones in charge. That's the will of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's what it's about, folks. Over in Romans, in chapter 12, you know that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable what? Who does service? Servants do service. It's something that we're supposed to do. And guess what? It's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're supposed to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Epaphras. I told you about names this morning in Sunday school, to pay attention to names. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul mentions all of these people that were fellow servants and faithful ministers according to the will of God. Tychicus, Onesimus, Marcus, Barnabas, Justus, Epaphras. All of these people were mentioned by name as fellow laborers and fellow servants in the will of God. It's so important that we do like Epaphras. In that passage, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Isn't that amazing? God wants us to be perfect. He wants us to be complete. He wants to be service. That's the will of God for us. You see, this is His will. This is what is accomplished through Him. We need the will of God to be accomplished in our lives. Remember back in verse 15 of our text, it says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." That's what we're supposed to be. We're to be saved. We're to be surrendered to God. We're to be the servants of God. Hey, we're supposed to be set apart unto God. We're for His purpose. We're for His use. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." We're supposed to be set apart. We're supposed to be vessels, meet for the Master's use. In 1 Peter, the Bible tells us that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. We're not supposed to be carnal. We're not supposed to be the natural man. All those things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a new life to live in Christ, in purity, in holiness, and in sanctification unto God. We're set apart to His purpose. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is God your all in all? Or are you your all in all? We have to make a choice. We sometimes choose the things of this world to satisfy us. You know what that is? That's our will. How many of you like to be satisfied? Come on. It's okay. Be honest. We all do, right? Yeah. When I'm hungry, you know what I want? I want to be satisfied. When I'm thirsty, I don't care. If you're thirsty, if you know what thirst is, you don't want anything but water. And I'm a coffee guy, all right? Of course, a coffee is just dark water. I mean, that's okay, man. That's what my grandpa always said. I drink enough water. The water just happens to be filtered through a coffee filter. Amen. It's water, right? You could say the same about anything else, couldn't you? Tea, soda, whatever. But you know, nothing satisfies like water, right? When it's hot out there, and you can have all the Gatorade in the world, and all the coffee in the world, and all the soda, and all that, but just that glass of water, just that's the only thing. We want to be satisfied. But what about God? What about God? Isn't He the one that should be satisfied? Isn't He the one that deserves glory and honor and praise? You know, it's the will of God for us to be satisfied with God. Is God not good enough for you? Has God not been good enough to you? You know what God is? God's a faithful master to His servants. He's faithful. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." What is everything? Everything. In Romans chapter 15, Paul says that the will of God is refreshing. He says that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." In 1 John 2, it says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You know, God is faithful. God wants us to accomplish His will. Sometimes the will of God leads us into difficulties. Things that we seem difficult. That seem difficult to us. And in 1 Peter, we talked toward the end of this chapter, chapter 2 here, it talks about servants, be subject. And all these things. He says, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Doesn't the Bible say, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution"? The world hated him. Why wouldn't it hate you? Are you special? Are you more special than Jesus? No, not at all. Sometimes the will of God for us is to suffer for his sake. To suffer for the kingdom. To suffer for Christ's sake. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God." What? That can't be right. Isn't that what Jesus was praying about? Back in Matthew? Yes, it was. Suffer according to the will of God. Commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. Check this out. As unto a faithful creator. Folks, he's faithful, even in the tough times. Don't forget that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This morning, I just wanted to be an encouragement to you. And as we kind of enter into this fall time of the year, what are we concerned about? Are we concerned about our will or about his will? What is our focus? What is our purpose? What is our motivation? What is our drive? Is it the will of God? Or is it our will? It's the will of God for people to be saved. It's the will of God for people to be surrendered to God. It's the will of God for people to be servants of God. It's the will of God for us to be set apart unto God. And it's the will of God at times for us to suffer for God. Are we willing to be like Jesus and to say, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." It's our choice. Just as much as it was Jesus' choice. Aren't you glad he made the right choice? We have the opportunity to choose the will of God in our lives.